Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the iSports MSU Red Cedar Report. I am Tyler Hayward. Ryan McCumber is with me as well today. We've got a lot going on this week. It is Michigan week. We should have Kyle Rasmussen on. Still waiting to hear back from him. Trevin Pendleton will be on the show tomorrow. Former offensive lineman for Michigan State, Will Whitaker, on Wednesday. Thursday, we have DeAndre Cobb, former special team ace for the Atlanta Falcons. He will come on the show to talk about Michigan week. And then Friday, we will wrap up Tyler Topolinski. He will be on. And we will talk to former Cotton Bowl Rose Bowl champion. He'll be on, and he's got some, let's just call them harsh words for some of the fans, but at the same time, it is understandable. Michigan State, their first five-game losing streak since 1991, with the loss to Maryland this past weekend, 28-17. You saw a few things in that game, Ryan, that ultimately cost the Spartans. What's your general thoughts on the game? Let's just start there.
Well, they finally got run blocking working for the first time since the Notre Dame game. LJ Scott finally pass blocked somebody for the first time, I think, this year. I mean, so many stupid penalties. Riley Bullock, I was just absolutely shocked that he played that dumb and get three personal fouls, including obviously a targeting that got him ejected within 5 minutes. Just a lot of dumb mental mistakes by seniors. Monty Medeiros fumbling when MSU was probably going to score a touchdown with the way they were moving the ball, and that cost them 7 points. And then the thing that just blew my mind the most was that fake field goal when you try to run Geiger before the half, 45 yards on a run, which made zero sense because they had the wind to their back, and Geiger probably would have made that kick. So that's another 3 points off the board. So I see 10 points they left there because of bad coaching decisions and just not holding on to the football.
All right, and before we get to my talk on the game, I believe we do have Kyle Rasmussen with us now. He played 2000-2003 on the defensive line for the Michigan State. Kyle, are you there?
Yes, I am. Here I am.
Hey, how are you doing, man? Thanks for coming on.
Oh, I'm doing fantastic, actually. You know, it's a privilege to be asked to be on the show, and I really appreciate you having me on.
Hey, well, we appreciate you coming on. It is Michigan week. You just heard Ryan venting a little bit about the most recent exposure of the Spartans, really, in their five-game losing streak. But I want to talk to you about this rivalry before we talk about this year's team. Obviously, you were born in Lapeer, if I'm not mistaken. What were your experiences with this rivalry before you even got on campus?
You know, obviously, across the whole state of Michigan, this is it's a huge game, and everyone across the whole state gets into this game, even if they're not football fans. It's just something everyone watches, and just growing up, I was an hour away from East Lansing, where I grew up there in Lapeer, and it's just football. You know, football season, everyone loves it, and it's just one of those magical games. It's just a huge rivalry.
Yeah, how did it change though? Because obviously, from a fans' perspective, or even from a journalist's perspective, you hear the fans' perspective, and it's a lot of irrational trash talk, ultimately. You hear from both sides, even with last year's game, oh, well, Michigan State got lucky. They blocked the punt. Well, Michigan was lucky to be in that situation because State outgained them by 156 yards or whatever it was. How did this rivalry change when you got on campus that first week of the rivalry where you were like, hey, this is pretty legit?
Yeah, for sure. You know, being part of the team, you know, you really kind of get that up close look and the whole understanding of what this game's all about. Everything in practice during the Michigan week is completely different. You know, everyone's attitude and intensity and the way they approach everything, it's just increased that much more. You know, everyone's really tuned in, focused. You know, I can remember, you know, TJ Duckett, you know, the great running back we had, in practice, every time he would get the ball, I mean, he would just be sprinting for the end zone, and he would run it all the way down the field till he was in the end zone during the whole week of practice. You know, that's just a good example of kind of the way things are in practice during this week. You know, I can remember my very first game there with U of M. We were both undefeated at the time. It was in 1999. And we were both undefeated, and Plaxico Burress just went off in that game. You know, pretty much everyone had been double covering him up to that point, and you know, U of M decided that they were going to single cover him in this game. And I think he had, you know, like 300 yards receiving or something like that. It was incredible performance by him. You know, we ended up winning that game. Yeah, it was just it's just a magical experience, you know, being able to be part of that game for five seasons. You know, that was it was awesome. It was truly remarkable to experience it.
Well, you talked about TJ Duckett during the week of the Michigan game. Obviously, everybody knows what happens in 2001. Smoker rolls out to his right, takes the snap with 1 second left. It's ducking in the back of the end zone. Is it safe to say that that is your favorite memory of the Michigan game, playing in it?
Oh, yeah, hands down. You know, I actually I was the defensive player of the week that game, and I would probably say it's the best game that I ever played in my football career. And, you know, I ended up having 10 tackles and a sack in that game. That game was just amazing. You know, you can even, to this day, sometimes I'll pull it up on YouTube and watch the final clip there at the end. You know, and I always point out to people, you can look up into the stands after he catches the ball and we score the touchdown to win the game. You know, you can see fans falling down onto the field.
Yeah, you're climbing over the edge.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's incredible. People falling out of the stands. It's you know, that game was just something else. It's one of my fondest memories, you know, and like I said, it was probably the best game I've ever played. And
when you watch that YouTube clip, do you watch the Jim Brandstetter call on the U of M side where he says this is criminal?
I think I missed that.
I'll be sure to hook you up with that after this show today. You've got to hear it. It's fantastic.
Oh, absolutely. I'd love to hear that. It's hysterical.
All right. Again, Kyle Rasmussen, he is with us. Some of you may know him as Conrad Tanner from his professional wrestling days. You talked about the fact that you did play on the defensive line. You had a great game in 2001. And we've talked about the differences leading up to the game, but does this game really differ at all in the trenches? Is there more, let's call it extracurricular activity, so to speak?
You know, I would say, first of all the games, you know, are going to be physical and are going to be intense in the trenches, of course. But I would say in this game, there's just a little bit more extracurricular activity, like you put it, just a little bit more smack talking. I don't know. The rivalry brings out the best in you, and it brings out the worst in you at the same time. So, you know, it's one of those things where this is one of those games where you never really get tired in the game when you're on the field. You know, you're just going as hard as you possibly can on every snap, and you don't feel it. You don't feel the tiredness set in. You know, you feed off the environment, off the crowd. It's one of those things. You don't feel it. You really don't.
Yeah, something where the adrenaline just keeps
exactly.
going throughout.
The adrenaline takes over, and it just kind of carries you. So
let's talk about this year. Obviously, a sour taste still in U of M fans in their mouths based on what happened last year. But a lot of that was because Michigan State was able to dominate in the trenches where you excel. But this year's defensive line isn't really getting the push. They're not really getting the pass rush. What have you seen? Why aren't they able to do that? Because to me, I felt like they have the talent to, but it's just not effective to the point where now you're moving around McDowell, not because of Ben and the offense has to try to find him every time, but because it's out of desperation.
Yeah. You know, it's no secret that we're struggling right now this season, and a lot of the times it comes down to the play in the trenches. Of course, you know, if you're able to kind of reestablish the line of scrimmage, whether you're on offense or you're on defense, you know, you're just setting yourself up for victory. And you know, this year we've kind of struggled a little bit on the defensive line and on the offensive line. So, you know, it's tough from what we've been here these last couple of years, these last few seasons, the success we've had and how good, you know, our offensive and defensive lines have played, you know, to kind of come out this season. And you know, we had a lot of hope and a lot of hype here to go back-to-back and all these things. It's been a huge disappointment, you know, as a fan, you know, as a former player. It's tough to watch, you know, to lose five games in a row, and that's never exciting as a fan, you know. Going into this week here, you know, playing U of M, you know, obviously I'm not a fair weather fan, you know. I'm never gonna give up on my team, and especially this
right.
week, you know, this is when our guys need us the most, you know, to really stand behind them. And, you know, this is the Big Ten. So any given week, anyone can win. You know, there's no giving.
I mean, I think you've seen it a little bit, in these rivalry games. You can go back to the John L. Smith days. A lot of, you know, Michigan State would struggle throughout the course of the season, but they did always bring it for that U of M game.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. You know, this is, like I said, it's one of those games where, you know, you don't feel yourself getting tired, and you push it that much harder, you know, and, it's just such a magical, you know, environment, you know, and, you just give everything you have in this game.
I do want to talk about the defense specifically. Malik McDowell, because you said you give everything that you have. Right now, the defense does look a little bit tired, and it seems like Malik McDowell is always the first one through the hole, and that's kind of understandable given the talent level that he has, opposed to everybody else. He should be, by all means, a top 10 pick. But at the same time, he's doing it, and it to me... it looks like he's overplaying and not necessarily sticking with his assignment. And it's kind of felt like that since the Furman game, actually. I believe I was talking about it with Ryan. Do you feel that he might be playing a little selfishly to build up the draft stock? Because he said it. He will lead East Lansing if he's going to be a projected top three pick.
Right. You know, first and foremost, he's a remarkable talent. You know, he gets out there, he plays hard, and, you know, he makes big plays. He absolutely does. He makes big plays, you know, tackles for losses and everything else. I wouldn't say that he's playing selfishly, no, to answer that question. I think what he's trying to do everything he possibly can do to be successful as Spartans, to put our team and our squad in best positional place to win ball games. You know, he's trying to do it, do everything he possibly can, I think. And
maybe just trying to shoulder the load a little too much, so.
Right.
Given the way the rest of the defense has played, the absences
exactly,
of Riley Bulla for a while, John Reschke, it hurts.
Yep. I think he's just trying to do everything he possibly can. I think is what he's trying to do.
Yeah. All right. You know, we know that we've got to let you run here, but we're not going to do that without a prediction for this weekend. Go ahead and hit me with it. What's happening Saturday?
Well, I think our defense is going to play awesome. I think McDowell is going to have a huge game. I think our offense is going to put up some points. I think we're going to win big. I think we're going to shut them out. So I'm going to say let's go with 45-0.
I like Spartans. That. I would totally be okay with that. I'm not going to lie.
Absolutely.
Okay. Hey, Kyle, man, thanks for coming on. We really appreciate it. Again, that was Kyle Rasmussen, former Michigan State defensive lineman. Hey, thanks for coming on. Have a good time this weekend.
Well, thank you very much for having me on. I'm looking forward to this game.
All right, thank you. Again, that was former defensive lineman Kyle Rasmussen coming on to talk about the rivalry with Michigan. Ryan? before we go back to the Maryland game, I want to get your thoughts on this prediction.
Oh man, I don't know what I would do if that actually happened.
Long story short, Ryan would probably be hanging out at our tailgate a little longer than expected if that were to happen. let's go back to that Maryland game. We had Kyle on a little longer than expected, but you know what? At the same time, it's always great hearing from these guys about their experiences with the Michigan game. I know Cedric Irvin gave us a great interview last year, and I did as well, and you can tell that the animosity runs a little bit deeper for U of M than it does. Let's say a team where there actually has been a rivalry, things kind of going 50-50 for the last few years, like Ohio State. But let's talk about it, because we talked about Malik McDowell, and that's kind of been one of my focal points over the last couple weeks. And I totally see Kyle's point when he was talking about it. Maybe he is just trying to do too much because of the lack elsewhere. Do you feel that maybe the lack of production and really the lack of leadership has been a big issue? Because I know before you came on, you were talking about Riley Bulla's three personal fouls.
I do think it's a problem. It's not been there. Like D'Antonio said before the season, the senior players have to have their best years, and this year it's just not happening. The only guy I can think of is maybe Brandon Clemens. It's having
his best year as a senior. I mean, I can't really think of anybody else.
Well, I've got it written down. Right here. O'Connor and Clemens, as far as the two guys who are really playing well. I mean, not to say that O'Connor is playing at a kind of Cook level, but I have O'Connor and Clemens as the two guys on the team that are really showing that type of leadership when you talk about it. You know, he missed some time due to an injury, but the Maryland game, I think it just showed this lack of leadership. I don't know if he was trying necessarily to light a fire by overplaying, playing hard. Darian Hicks, you could probably lump in with Clemens and O'Connor as well. But he's been hurt, too. Demetrius Cox got benched in the second half for Kari Willis, who, other than Hicks, I think has been our best defensive back this season.
I'd put Nicholson in that group, but...
And then at the same time, Nicholson got benched.
Yeah. Well, I didn't think he played
against Maryland.
I didn't think that Nicholson played awful. He didn't play his best game, but I don't think he was awful.
He hasn't been, let's say, as bad as a guy like Cox.
Right.
I
mean, that kind of leads into the youth movement thing we were going to talk about, I guess.
Kari Willis, I wouldn't be surprised if he started this weekend. Joe Bocci, I thought he played great against Maryland.
He was really good.
Theo Lacusa is playing more. Obviously, everyone knows about the Brian Lewerke quarterback situation. Justin Lane, Tyler Higbee, those types of guys. The youth movement has started. Obviously, we didn't want us this season because it meant we were living up to our expectations. And the youth movement has started. Talk about these young kids.
I see that there's a lot of young talent. Part of this problem with this team is that they haven't – the 2012 and 2013 recruiting classes I don't think have been that good. They weren't highly rated anyways, but they haven't gotten the production out of the lower-rated guys that they usually get. But you can see how much talent they had in the 2014 and 2015 and even the 2016 classes. With some of these players that they brought in. Willis, I thought, had a great game, like you said. Joe Bocci, unfortunately, they had to burn his red shirt because Bola got ejected, but I thought he played well. Higbee has looked okay. I think he's looked about as good as you could hope as a redshirt freshman.
I would say the best offensive lineman we have right now.
Is Higbee. Yeah, I can't really disagree with that. Since Clemens got moved to the defensive line.
Right. Yeah, a lot of the struggles this season, though, just seem self-inflicted, and I feel like that is a leadership-type issue. Monty Medeiros is a fifth-year senior.
Right.
Go out of bounds. You're on the five-yard line. You've been running the ball well for the first time all season. Go out of bounds and punch him in the mouth. It's not going to be your touchdown. It will be LJ's or it will be Gerald's. So just step out of bounds and take it. The Shane Jones timeout. I think the lack of leadership goes on to the coaches with that fake field goal. I understand kicking it with Geiger. I understand it entirely. But if you're going to do that, I would have liked to have seen a pass out of it. A little giant.
And not running with Michael Geiger 45 yards.
Yes, not running. He's faster than most kickers. He is, and I liked his fight. He stayed in bounds, and he took some shots. I liked it. I mean, I wouldn't mind. Shoot, if Michigan State had trouble moving the ball against Maryland in the first half, I wouldn't be surprised if he would start at running back in the second half the way that our running game has performed this season. But then you have the missed tackles. You have McDowell overplaying a little bit. Is this just a self-inflicted, you can fix this with a more practice type thing, which obviously Michigan State's not going to get because they already had their bye week when they thought they were in the driver's seat.
It's not. You can't. I mean, it is all self-inflicted. But at this point, it's not going to change anything. I think it's too late in the year. And it's just dumb penalties. I mean, some of them were bad calls. Like, the Monty Medeiros, the second pick that they called on him was a terrible call.
And it was crucial. It was on a huge play.
Yeah, it was a terrible call. And D'Antonio was obviously frustrated with it. But a lot of these are just really stupid penalties. You know, I see a lot of holding. And it's self-inflicted stuff that should never happen. And this year, and a lot of it's on upperclassmen, which is makes it even more surprising.
Yeah, Price and Lyles had a lot of pass interference and holding calls to start the season. They're fifth-year seniors. And then, obviously, you do have the fact that Cody Keeler's not really living up to the hype. Brian Allen, we talked about it. He was our only unanimous All-Big Ten selection on the offensive line, even over Dan Feeney at Indiana. And he has not played well this season. It's the upperclassmen, and so you understand why Michigan State's moving towards this youth movement. And ultimately, if they can sustain, if Michigan State can continue to get decent classes out of these next few, the guys like Lewerke and Corley, Stewart, Bocci, and these guys, I think that the future looks very bright for Michigan State, but you cannot have a season like you're having right now. You can't have a second season like this.
No, you can't. This is a terrible look, especially coming right off a playoff berth last year. This is worse than I thought the worst case scenario was before the season by far. And you just can't have a year like this. But yeah, I agree with you that, I mean, they got higher rated classes in 2014, 2015, and 2016. So I think that you will see this team can improve. It has to improve next year, obviously. But I mean, 7-8 wins is maybe, you know, and but yeah, it should get better with the guys that they brought in the past few classes.
Yeah. Well, that does it for us today. Be sure to check us out the rest of this week when the toughest Spartans ever, fan favorite, Trevin Pendleton, he's going to talk to us tomorrow from our offensive line on Wednesday show. Obviously, with the offensive line struggles, who better to talk about it than him? Special teams been a little bit of an issue. Guess what? We got special teams ace DeAndre Cobb, who made a career out of returning kicks and actually made him. Thanks, Newsom, for coming on today. Great stuff. For Ryan McCumber, I'm Tyler Hayward. This was iSports MSU Red Cedar Report.